Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. This is God's Word. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, get the setting. We're taken into the home of a skeptical, self-righteous Pharisee. The Pharisees were not priests. They were laity, if you will. They were not ordained to ministry, but they invested their lives in the study of the Scriptures and the Jewish law. Not just God's law, but the various rabbinic laws that had grown up over the centuries. For them, God's law wasn't enough. We have to add more law so that you don't accidentally break God's law. And then, in order to make sure you don't break the law that was put in place by man to protect you from breaking God's law, we're going to make some more laws. And the Jewish people were drowning in laws that were not just God's laws. They were man's laws. And whatever good motives may have been there at the start, when you start adding to the Word of God and treating it as if your words are God's Word, or they're on an equal level with God's Word, you've got a problem. We try to guard against that here at the ranch. We tell you that you're not to eat or drink in the vans. That's not because it's a sin against God. It's because we want to preserve the vans. But we take pains to remind you these rules are not God's law. Do not lie. That is God's law. Do not murder. That is God's law. Okay? Jesus takes it farther in clarifying that if you hate someone, you're a murderer in your heart. If you covet what other people have, you have violated. Well, I didn't take it. I didn't steal it. Yeah, but it's not just don't steal. It's don't covet. Well, so God cares about what I think? Yes. You're not to commit adultery. You're also not to lust. So God clarifies for us in His Word what His law is. But the Pharisees went way beyond that and delighted in thinking that they were better than everybody else. They didn't recognize their own sin. They were focused on the sins of others. They didn't realize they had a giant log coming out of their eye. They were trying to see the specks in other people's eye. Well, this woman made it easy because she had lived a life of sin, it says, there in the town. She was a known personality. She'd lived a sinful life in that town. But she learned that Jesus was going to be there at the Pharisee's house, and so she went. She went on a mission. She went with an alabaster jar of perfume. This would be something extremely valuable. Some have suggested basically a year's wages. However much you make in a year, it's a lot of money to you, isn't it? This was very valuable to this woman. But it didn't compare with Jesus. She regarded him as the one who was truly valuable. And so, having heard that she was going to be there, she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears and then wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This was a shocking thing, okay? If you were in a gathering and someone came over and began to behave this way towards someone else, wouldn't you find it a bit awkward? This was a very unusual scene. It was shocking to the people there. And this Pharisee reacted to this shocking scene by coming to his conclusion about Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Who did the Pharisee say that to? Said it to himself. This was his thought. Guess who knew what he was thinking? Jesus. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. See, outwardly, Simon is still acting like I regard you, the word there, teacher, is the word that's also translated rabbi. That's what rabbi means. So he says, well, tell me, rabbi. Tell me. Tell me, professor. You have something to tell me? Go ahead, tell me. I'll listen. Jesus did what he typically does. He tells a story. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. Right there, I want you to see something. Both are in debt. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Oh, so one's in much more debt than the other. Yeah. Jesus allows for that. And both of them are unable to pay. Neither one can pay the debt. And the one to whom the money is owed forgives the debt of both. And then Jesus says, so which one is going to be more grateful? And the Pharisee says, well, the one who owed more. Jesus says, brilliant. You're so sharp. You have judged correctly. You see, Simon knew that this woman owed a lot. Simon knew that this woman had sinned a lot. And Simon was happy to focus on her, reject Jesus, and feel good about himself. Because he's so discerning. He knows what's going on. He knows right from wrong. He feels very good about himself. He doesn't realize that he too is in debt. You and I have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I quote that verse to you all the time because it is one of the most important verses for us to know. All of us have sinned. And I've given you my illustration numerous times of trying to swim across the ocean. And whether you die 20 feet from shore, or whether you die 20 miles from shore, or even if you could die 200 miles from shore, you are still dead. You understand? All of us are going to die. All of us have sinned. All of us are guilty. We have a debt that we cannot repay. That's the next part of this. The guy who only owed one-tenth as much as the other one couldn't pay his debt either. See, this Pharisee thinks there's stuff he can do in order to compensate for the mistakes he's made. And God says, no, you can't. All those sacrifices at the temple, that doesn't pay your debt. It points to the fact that you have a debt and that somebody else is going to have to pay it. That's why an animal is sacrificed instead of you. Someone else has to pay the debt. You can't pay your debt. And if you bring 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 animals and kill them all, it still doesn't take away your sin. It simply points to the fact that you're a sinner and you deserve the death penalty. Somebody else is going to have to pay the bill. Because you can't do it. This Pharisee has not understood that at all. And that's why when he encounters Jesus, he's skeptical about him and he doesn't love him. I've got to ask you a question. Do you love him? Do you realize what he did for you? Do you recognize the fact that he took your punishment? He died in your place. He bore the wrath of God for you. If you believe that, you will be grateful. And you will love him. We love him because he first loved us. Please get that. He doesn't love us because we love him. We love him because he first loved us.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so the Pharisees' response to this event is to just use that to confirm what he already thought. This guy's not real. It's Jesus. I don't know how he does some of the stuff he does. It's pretty remarkable, but clearly he's not a prophet. He's not a prophet. If he were, he'd know what kind of woman this is. Jesus says, looking at her, Simon, you see her? Do you see her? You think you see her. You think you know. You think you understand. You don't understand. Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. That was a breach of protocol. That was bad manners. That was very ungracious. You don't invite somebody into your home in this culture and not provide for their feet to be cleaned. But this guy didn't even provide water, much less a servant to wash Jesus' feet, much less what Jesus would do at the Last Supper and wash Jesus' feet himself. Never crossed his mind to do something like that. He thought Jesus was blessed just to get to come and spend time with him. There are a whole lot of people who think that they are doing God a favor because they're going to become a Christian. They're going to join the church. They're going to get involved in some charitable stuff. And you know, I'm going to see what I can do to help out. God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need my help. God doesn't need from us. But God invites us and calls us to enter in. This guy invited Jesus to his home and treated him without courtesy, without kindness. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. That's not normally what you would use to wash a person's feet. But that's what this woman did. You did not give me a kiss. So, well, of course not. Simon's a guy and Jesus is a guy. And so, I mean, you know. In this culture, it was expected that you would greet another person with a kiss. This guy didn't do that for Jesus. Why? Because he invited him there not to learn from him, but to size him up, to get a closer view, so that he could say, yeah, I had him at my house for lunch. Okay? I know about Jesus. I spent time with him. Did you know you can go to church all the time and still not be a believer? You can go to seminary and not be a believer. If you don't love the Lord, it's an indication that you have not received his forgiveness. You have instead said, no, thanks, I'm okay. I'm good. Leave me alone. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. Again, that would have been a good thing to do for a guest. It would have been an appropriate welcome. Now, in our culture, no, please don't. I just washed my hair. Okay? In this culture, it was the expected thing. It was a warm greeting. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Which do you think costs more, oil or perfume? Which is a more appropriate place for something valuable, your head or your feet? This woman had lavished something costly on Jesus' feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. You can tell have been forgiven. Because she's in love with the one who did what? Forgave her. Her many sins have been forgiven. Jesus doesn't say she hasn't done anything bad. Jesus says her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Who would be the one who's been forgiven little? The Pharisee. Is that because he didn't have much that needed forgiveness? No, it's because he has not looked for forgiveness. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? Folks, that is absolutely pivotal. Now first, let me tell you that our main point for today, and I had three that I wanted to use, but I'm sticking with this one. Main point for today is, he who has been forgiven little loves little. He who has been forgiven little loves little. And the reason that's so important is because, as I said, if you are not in love with Jesus, it means you are clueless about your need for Jesus and about his love for sinners. Who is a worse sinner? The woman whose sins were known, or the Pharisee who thinks in arrogant, self-righteous pride that he doesn't need a Savior? That is the greatest sin. The sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven was pride. At the root of our various sins is pride. The idea that we can do this. We can have it our way. That pride will take you straight to hell. And that is the root of all of our sin. So, the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Let me tell you, that is a key question. Who is this? Who is this that even forgives sins? Now, why is that an issue? How is it that Jesus can forgive sins? Because Jesus is the one to whom we owe the debt. Jesus is God incarnate. God became a man. And that's why on more than one occasion, including when the paralyzed guy was lowered down in front of him, Jesus was able to say to him, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because he was speaking the word of God. God sent Jesus into the world so that we could be forgiven. He paid our debt. And that's why he can say your sins are forgiven. Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So are we saved by grace or are we saved by faith? Jesus said, your faith has saved you. What does that mean? We receive God's grace by faith. What constituted faith on the part of this woman? She knew who Jesus is, and she loved him because she knew that he was the one who could set her free, not only from her guilt, but from her sin, totally changing her identity. She's not remembered now as a sinful woman. She's remembered as someone who did something beautiful for the Savior. Your life can be remembered for your love for God, but only if you realize how much you need him and trust in him to save you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.